Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
It's Bashomania!
Let me tell you something, brother. He gave us everything he had in him tonight. What you gonna do when Bashomania runs wild on? Oh, it's gonna be a good one.
And business just picked up here on the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
You know what that means.
Boom.
We're back. And it's been a while. Before we get started, guys, this episode is brought to you by Attack. Chenzo's guys are all over this app. Shane Griffith, Real Woods, these guys are crushing it. They're doing a college preseason showdown challenge. If you don't follow Attack,
ATAC.app,
they're all over it.
Yeah, I know. I see my guys are. I didn't know about the challenge, though. What's the challenge?
Oh, yeah. There's a challenge. They're competing for like $5,000, maybe. I forgot what the number is. But like whoever's at the top of the leaderboard, Trent Hidley's in there. There's a bunch of guys in there. Pat Glory, I think Sebastian Rivera, bunch of college studs are in there competing for some cash. So it's good. Attack is killing it with, it's a training app for competitive athletes. There's all sorts of AI and custom built programs so you can train, sleep, eat, work out better. Awesome app. That's who sponsors this podcast. We're grateful for that. So go download the Attack app. Chenzo, it's been a while since you've been on here.
Yeah, it has been.
When was the last time you were on?
It was before trials.
Wow, is it really?
Yeah, it's been a while. You know, we've been hustling out here. We've been a little busy.
Yeah, I saw that. You've got like, and just so you know, Becca, for those who don't know, maybe don't listen to my wife, she wears the Stanford wrestling gear just as much as I do. And we wear it so much that we're now putting it on, not knowing that like we match. Like I'll put it on and come down and start working. She'll get up, go shower, come down, say good morning, and she's wearing the same shirt.
Greg, you need to get some Stanford gear to wear at Penn State practice.
I do. I mean, they might not like that, but
I don't think they would either. I mean, I probably wouldn't like another one of my guys wearing Penn State stuff at our practice, so that makes sense.
No, you might. Dual citizenship is okay.
Hey, if it's like RTC practiced over the summer, like go right ahead. Like I don't care.
Not a big deal.
But all right, that's fine.
If we're in season with Stanford practice for Stanford stuff.
Chenzo, before we dive too much into Kirk Fleet, because I am so excited to talk to him about him, and I want to talk to both of you guys about the world championships. I did see that you posted yesterday, and obviously this is now not just a Penn State podcast. It is a Stanford podcast. So yeah. Two things. Let's let people know. One, tickets are on sale. I saw for the Oklahoma State duel.
Oh yeah. We sold Stanford Wrestling sold their first ever tickets like yesterday, whenever that was. Yeah. Whenever we, you know, released the link for that. So I was pretty excited.
Do you think it's because Luke Gardner is coming? Because I did see he made a special appearance promise.
Luke Gardner will be here for the match, and you know, maybe more. We'll see. We've been talking to him
maybe,
a little bit.
Maybe more.
You know, his wisdom and expertise go a long way.
Now, I don't want to say that Nico listens to this podcast, but Nico listens to this podcast.
He does.
And
Nico's the man.
If Nico thinks you're stealing from, I don't know. I don't want to know nothing. Get those tickets, guys. If you're in the Cali area or go out for a trip, I know.
Or if you're not and you just want to come out for the match, we have a golf outing the day before.
So that's what.
Yeah. So we have a golf outing the 12th, home opener the 13th, and we're doing a youth club and coaches youth clinic and coaches clinic the whole weekend. So it's gonna be fireworks.
I'm trying to get out there.
I'm not leaving my bed on Monday. That's another thing.
The day after?
No, 2 days after, because we have a clinic on Sunday too.
Got it.
So it's going to be a fun weekend.
So you're going hard. I'm going to try to get out there. I'm still trying to fandangle it. I think Becca will be 27, 28 weeks. So we have a doctor's appointment tomorrow. Going to make sure that it's kosher to fly, which I'm sure it is. So we're on the fence, but definitely if you can get to it. Yeah. If you can get to it. So guys, world championships, let's talk about that for a few minutes. I think it's only right to start with Thomas Gilman, right?
Yeah.
Like Gilman's a gangster.
I feel like calling him a gangster is almost like a little insulting.
Like, really?
He's just above whatever that is. Oh, he's so awesome. I just love watching him just be a person.
I don't know that I was happier for anybody more than I was him. And I'm happy for people like Burroughs. Like, I am super happy for some of these guys. Mm-hmm. Gilman winning that thing was just like,
it wasn't close at all either. He was never like, and never even really in a match. Maybe his finals match, but like,
even then was so dominant. Like, Ivan Freestyle Wrestling, big Russian Twitter guy, he was asking people like what match they want the most, and it was like Taylor Yazdani, Taylor Dake, Dake Sitikoff, or Gilman Ugaev. And I'm like, Gilman Ugaev 100%. Like,
either that or Dake and Sitikoff. Yeah,
but I want Gilman. Like, I don't know if they can beat Sitikoff. I want to see
Big Greg versus that Iranian guy, though.
Czar?
That's what I want to see. Yeah,
I'm ready for that.
I put out a thing. So
tear him up, double leg his ass.
Exactly.
Somebody tweeted out, like, how do we make Czar and Gable happen? I'm like, I have him enroll at Penn State. And, of course, I have such a Penn State audience. Like, what? So Greg can beat him and he can be his backup. I'm like, guys, this is all hypothetical. Like, do you really think I'm thinking about a wrestle-off? Golly. But yeah, I'm super, super happy for Gilman. He did amazing. Dayton Fix looked incredible. I think he outscored everybody. 41 points.
He looked awesome. Yeah. He had one of the best guys in the world in the finals. So, I mean, that just showed, and he wrestled super competitively. That just shows you where he's at right now.
Yeah, I think he's right there. Same with Yanni.
Be tough for Dayton when he walks into Maples Arena, though, on November 13th, let me tell you.
Ooh.
Yeah. We got something ready for him.
I can't wait. Yanni D, I love Yanni. He's one of my guys. I have to remind myself how young he is, mm-hmm. that he's going to have such a successful career still, and still he's so young, but I know how bad he wants that. He's so freestyle savvy, but
yeah, he'll be back there. Yeah. He'll be back many times.
James Green, I don't really know what to say. He didn't look that good. Was in a hard weight class, had a lot of guys. I don't know. Dake Sitikoff, I really, really, really want to see.
Yeah, so does everybody. I mean, like it'll happen at some point, right?
Yeah, like we haven't seen Dake in a fully loaded weight class. Like, he was at 79, now he's at 74 without like all the Olympic medalists. I really want to see that.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, like, you know, that Olympic weight class he was at was nuts. But I'd like to see him wrestle Sitikoff. I mean, I'm sure it'll happen at some point. A lot of those guys didn't wrestle at the Worlds, and you know, that's fine. I'm sure it's very hard to turn around like that and go, you know, be at the top
100%,
and then try to go be at the top of your game again.
And Sitikoff, like, from my understanding, it's like he's not afraid of Dake, which Dake's one of the best in the world. I don't know that you should be afraid of him, but like,
there's no way he's afraid of people at his
weight. Not like afraid, but like, there's no incentive. Like, oh, I got to go beat Dake. Like,
no,
I think
he's the man.
Yeah.
He has to go beat him.
Correct. So I think that'll be a semifinal match next year. That'll be good. What did you think of Burroughs? Tore his calf 3 weeks later, wins a world championship.
Big Greg, you're up.
I thought he looked great, to be honest with you. I feel like Brandon Slay's doing something really good over there. I know a couple of the guys, Joey McKenna and those guys, and I just feel like his double leg's back.
Yeah, man. I think Jordan Burroughs, that, I mean, you could definitely tell that he's been working with Brandon Slay. I mean, he looks the same, dude. Like, like I'm sure they're doing great stuff for him over there, but it's not like he's changed his wrestling style or something revolutionary. Yeah. He looks like freaking Jordan Burroughs. He looks awesome. Double legging guys in the face.
He does look back to like vintage Burroughs though. Like he looks like he's got these double legs going. He looks like he's like blasting through people like he has in a couple of years. I do think it is a huge improvement to have Mark Hall become your training partner. Huge improvement. Yeah, like
I second that all day.
And we
one of the best training partners in the world.
That is such an amazing training combo that I tweeted out right after the match. Like, we now have seen what Burroughs looks like training with Mark Hall. I can't wait to see what Mark Hall looks like training with Burroughs.
Yeah, we'll get there.
That I'm super excited for. David Taylor's match was Yazdani and him are both, I think, like neck and neck, like pound for pound. They're both right there. Like, I wouldn't take David Taylor out of the top five pound for pound in the world because of that. Like, he just beat him at the Olympics. And this was such a close match. Like, him and Yazdani are both, I think, in the top five pound for pound in the world. Like, hats off to David Taylor for winning the Olympics and then turning around and then putting on the line, knowing this outcome could happen. You know, like,
yeah. And I texted him after and he said, yeah, it's all about Paris meow, and put a cat emoji. I'm like, all right, dude. Like,
shocker, yeah. A cat emoji.
I'm like, all right, like, he seems like he's fine. I think Yazdani wrestled an absolutely terrific match and he looked unbelievable, and they're gonna wrestle again, and probably not just one more time, they'll probably wrestle multiple more times, and I'm excited. They're gonna be great matches.
What's Paris World Championships next year, or Olympics 2024 and then LA 2028?
Yeah,
I think the Worlds are in like Serbia next year.
Greg, you going to Serbia?
All right, cool.
Heck yeah.
What do they have? What's Serbia known for? What do they have?
Those hats, those Russian hats, those cold Russian hats.
Cold, yeah.
So are they Serbian hats?
Well, there's both Serbian hats and Russian hats, I believe.
So how do you distinguish between the
two? Hold on, let me look at Serbian hat.
This is what Google's
for. A Serbian hat is nothing like the Russian hats.
Oh, all right.
Like, if you search Russian hat, you get what I'm talking about.
Yeah. No, not quite. They're just kind of ball caps that say Serbia on it.
It's just a hat with a Serbian flag. Or like old military stuff. Yeah.
It's like the hat that Greg's wearing, except it just says Serbia.
Yeah. I mean, it is. Yeah. All right. So
what's Serbian food?
I've never heard of anything about it. National dishes of Serbia include sarma, a mix of ground pork and beef with rice rolled in leaves of cabbage.
Ooh, there's a couple Serbian places near me.
All right, well, let's all go.
I gotta go.
We'll come out.
All right, hey, you guys both come out for the Oklahoma State match. Greg, you too. I don't care if you're in season. We'll go get some Serbian food. What do you say? All right, cool. Hey, we can hang out over Christmas break, dude. I'll be in Pittsburgh.
All right, Ben, I'll be back then.
I'll give you that work one more time.
In Madden?
In Madden, wrestling,
dodgeball,
jiu-jitsu. Hey, listen, so me and Greg live together. He lives in my house currently. And we played Madden, you know, and I would whoop them every time. Just whoop them.
I didn't know how to play. I was learning, you know, I had to get
learning curve.
And then for the day before I moved out for my going away present, he beat me by like 40 points in a game of Madden. And I just can't wait to run it back. I can't wait. We need to do it at some point. I can't.
Yeah. I mean, they do play remotely now, right?
Well, so he's a PlayStation. I have an Xbox. Cross platform.
All right.
So we need to run that back, and then we'll probably do some wrestling too, more important stuff.
But
I'm too fast for him. We've established that.
That thumb block, it gets in there.
He has a good thumb block.
I need to get back to Madden. I haven't played Madden in like 15 years.
You don't want to back in. That's not something you want to get back into.
I get way too addictive. If I had like an Xbox or a PlayStation in my office, like, I would just sit here. And I used to play Call of Duty when I was on phone calls that went long and I got bored. And I would turn on Call of Duty and just start playing zombies.
That's fun. We could do that too. I'm super into that.
Jaden Cox, what'd you guys think?
I think he looked good. I think he ran into a very good wrestler, and I think that that match was officiated interestingly. I'll put it that way. I think there that happens a lot at the world championships, but it was good to see Jaden back out there wrestling another, you know, world medal. Freaking awesome. And just like the rest of our guys, he's just going to keep getting better.
And yeah,
that's,
I mean,
that's kind of what I saw from him.
5-time world and Olympic medalist now.
Yeah.
Like, what unreal. A hammer.
Unreal.
Captain America, Kyle Snyder lost a tough one to Sedgy Live. I love Snyder, but Sedgy Live seems to be like widening the gap.
He looks almost unbeatable. I mean, I still, every time they wrestle, I'm going to pick Kyle.
100%.
And,
yep.
Like, and I don't know if that's just me being stubborn or just me believing in him because I see the work he puts in.
Well, we've known he's beat him before. So if yeah, you've done it before, it's possible to do it again.
Sedgy Live looks so much bigger than he did when they first wrestled. He looks so much bigger and stronger.
That one match he lost to Snyder is his only loss since 2013.
Who beat him in 2013? That's what I want to know.
I tweeted it out. It was like some Ukrainian. I don't know if either if it was a juniors tournament or not. I think it was a Ukrainian. No, Osmanov.
Oh, yeah. Osmanov,
of course. Azerbaijan. Yeah. Don't you know that just like in the back of your head?
How did I forget? Greg, you didn't know that? You kidding me?
No, actually.
Yeah. Dude, he got tapped.
I bet Yanni would know that.
Yanni can tell you exactly what takedown was used in the match.
That's disgusting. That's too much.
Last guy, and then we'll get to some Greg stuff. Gwiz. I don't know, Greg, I'm curious on your take on Gwiz in the heavyweight at the World Championships. Like, Gwiz is so good, and he didn't wrestle amazing. He seemed like he was very upset with himself afterwards. What was your take on heavyweight at the World Championships?
I think Gwiz did look good. He's been looking good training also, but I think sometimes it might be mindset maybe. Maybe when he gets out there on the mat, maybe it's something's not clicking or it's not the right mindset. But I'm not him, so I could be completely off. But
yeah.
Other than that, I mean, everybody else, Zaire won. I have that match with him, looking to get that one back. So that'd be a fun one.
Yeah, and I think Gwiz is like so good. I think people forget how young he is, that like he's nowhere near being done. He's got a lot of time left. So I know he's hungry for more. I know you're going to be in the mix right there. So speaking of you, let's dive into your career a little bit. I guess we'll start here. So much has gone on in State College, and I tweeted out like all the accolades. I think you even I can't remember if you reshared or not, or maybe Gilman just did, but like the amount of success and accolades in State College is nuts. And even now you're seeing guys like Chenzo have like getting these coaching gigs. The amount of stuff happening from guys in State College is nuts. I'm curious for you, who obviously apart from Chenzo, because this is biased and he's both of our guy, who has impressed you the most this year in State College?
In State College, I mean, you can't really even say just one guy impressed me the most. I mean, everybody is very impressive. David Taylor wrestled very impressive. Kyle Snyder, very impressive. I mean, Aaron Carter, Roman, Nick Lee, NCAA is very impressive. Bo Bartlett, even that, very impressive. So, I mean, we've got a full room full of killers, and we're going to get after people this year.
And so how about you? Who do you think? Is there anybody?
My mind went directly to Nick Lee and Carter, just because not only from, you know, their folk style success, but freestyle success as well. I mean, both have just looked really good. Even Carter at the trials in Lincoln looked awesome. So I think maybe just a little recency bias from that, because he's probably the last person I saw wrestle that's like on the team other than the senior level guys. But yeah, you got those guys and then Thomas Gilman, obviously.
Yeah, I think for me, I would say it's Gilman and Nick Lee. Nick Lee, because what he did to look so good at NCAAs and then to turn around at the Olympic trials looked so good too. Nick Lee is just big, big fan of him. And Gilman to finally break through and win that world championship after a silver a couple of years ago, a bronze.
Well, I mean, he came out of nowhere.
Somebody tweeted that like right after, like, do you think a reporter will ask him if he came out of nowhere? Like, for people who don't get the reference, that'd be hilarious.
That has to be like, he needs to be asked that after every event now. It's like, hey, Thomas, you feel like you came out of nowhere to win this thing.
I always think about like,
how is the number one seed? What are you talking about?
I'm always curious if like, if I go into press conferences and ask joke questions like that, like references to old things, that people get it or just think I'm an idiot.
I think that with you, since like you just have that personality and from like our show, then like, yeah, like people would get it. But if it was,
I think we have to try it, right?
If it was like the wrestling changed my life guy, like probably not.
Right.
But like us, like for sure. Yeah. Cause it's nonstop jokes.
All right. We need to try it. So right. On the opposite note,
so after Greg wins nationals.
Okay. We'll have to come up like, with a very clever question.
You feel like you came out of nowhere, bud?
Do you think your landlord had anything to do with this victory?
Hey, let's practice. Greg Kirkley, national champ. Congratulations. That's what you say. Thank you.
Thank you. I was number one seed. I've been here the whole time.
I didn't ask that yet. Hey, do you feel
like to ask it? I just need to let you know.
Oh, okay. Well, now I know. But so you didn't feel like you came out of nowhere to win this?
No.
All right, cool.
All right. So from a joke to a serious thing, Greg, you put a post out back in June that as soon as Burroughs put a post out, or right after the world championships, he came out and said, like, you guys didn't know I tore my calf 3 weeks ago. There's so much that like wrestling fans, the community doesn't know because you wrestlers hide it very well. And I was thinking about your post back in, I think, June, where you told people you had a crazy staph infection, life-threatening, kept you out of most of the season. Can you like tell that story? Cause I haven't heard it aside from like what you posted.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I kind of just thought it would be like, hey, that wasn't me out there. I mean, it was me, obviously. I was there wrestling the match, but it wasn't like the ability I know I can perform at. So, I mean, people can say what they want and say it's an excuse or whatever, but I don't really care. But back then, I got like a staph infection in my shoulder. So went to the doctor. They had to do like immediate surgery because it was like a ball of pus in my shoulder and it could leak down, I guess. So they had surgery, cleaned that out. And then after that, they put this medication in my arm through like an IV in my veins. And that didn't go well either. Like, it was one of those things that you could go home with. Damn. And that caused like a couple of blood clots. So that projected even longer, like, hey, I'm going to miss the entire season, NCAAs and all.
Well, how early in the season did that happen?
It was like right at the end. So from the Maryland match 2 months back.
Okay.
Because I got cleared the day of the Maryland duel, like 1 p.m. that day.
Hey, so your weight was good? You didn't have to get your weight down or anything like that?
Yeah, stayed on weight.
Perks of being a heavyweight.
Yeah.
What was going through your mind when you couldn't compete there for a while? Couldn't train? Like, what was going through your head?
Oh, I mean, well, for my whole life, all I really do is wrestling. So that was obviously tough. It's always tough when you can't do the one thing that you're most used to doing. So that sucked. I just watched film. Tried to do everything else. I mean, which sucked also because I couldn't do anything because of
he would be like in the house watching film on something and he'd come up and grab me and try to like work some like technique and I'm like, dude, like I'm not gonna let you do that right now. and like I had to stop him a few times and like I would go every time I go in his room, this dude would be watching like he'd be like watching the same like technique, you know, like he'd be he'd be studying some film, some foreign guy's match or something. He grabbed me, tried to do some like swim shot. And I'm like, dude, we're on hardwood and you have a blood clot in your arm. Probably not a great idea. So last year, whenever, you know, we'd be talking about stuff like this, whatever, on the podcast, and I said I would not tolerate any Greg slander. This is why.
Yeah. I remember that. And I'm so like, what you Chenzo kind of said it like foreign, like, is that what you're studying? Like watching foreigners?
Yeah, I watch a lot, just guys like even me, Aaron, Carter, like we'll watch Iranians, foreigners, Russians, just everything. Yeah. Everybody. They all do something really well. So
very Yanni of you.
that Iranian underhook, we're learning a little bit about that now. We have a Iranian club coach.
Really?
He's real, real big on that. Oh yeah, he's the man.
We've been figuring it out down here. It's coming along pretty well.
It's coming along. That's
good. You might see some underhooks this year. We'll see.
Oh,
I can't wait for that.
I like that.
Guys, real quick, I want to interrupt this because there's a brand new wrestling magazine on the block. Check this out. Grapple Alley. It's over 200 pages long, has color interiors on shiny satin pages, and is perfect bound with a half inch spine like a book. Look at how thick this thing is. Introducing Grapple Alley, a magazine dedicated to highlighting the excellence of amateur wrestling. The first issue is out right now and includes 5 poems, several pieces of fiction, 6 true stories, 4 interviews, and a section detailing 2 workouts. Exclusively in print and meant for all wrestlers, past, present, and future, including my son, who's going to be born in January. Read it on those long bus rides to faraway tournaments or in the stands in between matches. Grapple Alley is printed with thick pages, keeping durability in mind for the rough and tumble life of a wrestler on the go. A few blank pages are left in the back of the magazine for you to journal in or for your favorite wrestler's signatures, like Chenzo, like Greg. Grab your copy of Grapple Alley's very first issue at grapplealley.net and use the code GRAPPLELAUNCH10 to get 10% off. That's GRAPPLELAUNCH10 at grapplealley.net. A percentage of Grapple Alley's profits go to Canines for Veterans. Guys, this is super cool. This guy Brody reached out to me about this to show me this, and I love it. I think it's something unique. I think it's something different. That's what I try to do with some of the stuff I do. So I really appreciate this. And if you like to read, guys, this is serious. I was going through it. My wife was going through it. We both absolutely love it. I think just like I just said, on a long bus ride, on the weekend, for all you who are obsessed and crazed about wrestling, like so many of us are, this thing is just awesome to dive into. So go to grapplealley.net, use code GRAPPLELAUNCH10, get 10% off, support people who are doing things like this in the sport of wrestling. I think it's so, so crucial.
So what was your thought process when you got cleared for Maryland?
I was just excited. I was, before I got cleared, I kind of wanted to see like, where am I at?
Yeah.
So the day before I got cleared, I kind of did like a little spar with a Snyder. And I mean, I felt all right. I mean, I still wanted to go out there. You weren't going to change my mind. So, but I just wasn't 100%, you know.
Did it matter to you, or were you just so amped up to wrestle that you're like, I'll take whatever I can get?
I mean, growing up, you watch Big Tens, you watch NCAAs. It's a big show, and you're never going to pass that opportunity up. So
yeah,
as soon as I knew I had the chance to go, I was going to throw all my cards in.
Were you holding on to the hope that you would still get cleared for it, or you'd given up at any point?
I'm sure there was times in there where it got hard and I was just like, F it, whatever. But throughout the whole time, I stayed pretty collected.
Yeah, that's good. I would have like lost my mind. It's kind of outside your control. You got to wonder like if there's anything I can do maybe to get in here. So that's a wild thing to go through. How long after the season did you get to that perspective where when you put that post out in June, basically expressing gratitude for competing, was that right away like after Big Tens, after NCAAs, or did it take some time to get there?
Oh, it definitely took a good amount of time. I mean, sure, Chenzo probably knows a little bit, but like it took me, like, I was upset for a long time about that. Just like it just wasn't the best I knew I could perform, and I was embarrassed about it. So,
Chenzo, can you attest to that?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, I wouldn't, you know, say anything to you at the time or anything like that. But like, obviously, you know, us watching you wrestle knew that what we were seeing wasn't, you know, the extent of your abilities or like you at like full force. You literally got cleared and then put on a mat with a bunch of Big Ten monsters. So like, shit happens. You got to be ready to go. But at the end of the day, like, I just, you know, those guys, they went through a season. They were in shape for that. And you were literally just coming back. Like, just got like, clear.
And like I said, it's not an excuse. I mean, at the end of the day, I was the one that was willing to go out there and step on the mat and shake hands. So,
and you did, and I think you did well. I mean, you got you all American, which is pretty awesome. Not a lot of people ever do that. And now you just have a much better perspective.
With 4 years to go.
Yeah, with four more years. like you guys now, like, you know, there's guys in college wrestling that are older than I am because of the whole eligibility thing. I'm not going to name any names, but go Hawks. but yeah,
oh
like,
man,
like just the way the eligibility is and stuff like now, you kind of have forever.
Yeah.
So balancing that gratitude for being able to compete, I got to imagine the other side to that is like having a chip on your shoulder, knowing that you want more, knowing that you're obviously capable for more. Does that like set up this season? Like you have a chip on your shoulder to prove, not even to prove, but to show to yourself, to show to everybody else, like what you're actually capable of?
I don't think so. I feel like I don't necessarily need to prove anything. I feel like what I need to do is go out there and like, I mean, at the end of the day, first, second, third results aren't guaranteed, but what I can guarantee is that I'm going to go out there and scrap all 7 minutes, even eight, nine, however long the match goes.
However long it takes, baby.
However long it takes.
Yeah, no, we're in freestyle season, so I'm thinking 6 minutes.
Give me all the overtimes. I love overtime. But yeah, that's all you can do, right? Like there's no, you know, promising a win or anything like that. Like I guarantee I'm gonna win, but like you can guarantee that you're gonna give 110% of your effort every second that you're wrestling, and that's all that. You know, that's all you can possibly do. And like, you know, it being in the coaching game for as long as I have, that's all I ask of my athletes.
Greg, do you focus on, I know Chenzo has told me a million times how he never really cared who he was wrestling coming up. It was just focus on yourself, get better. And if you're studying film or doing different things, like that's great. Do you like think about other guys, Gable, Mason Paris, others, or is this just you being the best version of you and then walking out on the mat?
I think there's a time and place for everything. So right sure. now I'm just all on myself, just being the best me. But when the time comes, I'm going to pull that film up. I'm going to see what every little thing he does wrong, every little thing he does right. And I'm going to analyze that and I'm going to attack from there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great place to be, but I don't think enough people like improve on themselves. They're so focused on others, and I don't have the coaching experience that Chenzo has, but I do think
not many do. So.
Yeah, but I do think it's so important to focus on yourself and not just competition. When you walk into Penn State every day, like again, I was looking at it yesterday, tweeted out like there's like 6 gold, 3 silver, 3 bronze medals this year between World Olympic NCAAs. Does that just continue to kind of motivate you and like set the expectations of like, you see what's possible all around you. It's happening left and right. Does that help like your focus in elevating your expectations?
I think it makes me appreciate like the tools I have.
Yeah.
The people I have around me, but I think anybody has the possibility to be successful anywhere they go. But I just realized how grateful I am and how beneficial I am to where I have these people in my corner.
Yeah. No, it's a great place to be.
I think that, you know, you can excel anywhere, especially if it's a good academic institution, then you're guaranteed to be surrounded by people with like-minded goals. but a real question that I have though, all that stuff, that's all nice and good, but who's been winning dodgeball with me gone? That's a very important question.
Yeah. I mean, Connor Krazik's been getting a little bit out of hand. He's a little confident. Carter, Aaron, it's a good big team.
I might need to come back just to hit Connor Krazik with a few dodgeballs.
I don't know. I'm kind of sneaky. Nobody hits me, and I got a powerful arm. So
you throw it at the feet pretty good.
Yeah,
I will say. I try to get my guys here to play dodgeball, and they like for some reason they just want to play handball. It's insane.
The handball trend is wild.
Our room's like not set up great for dodgeball. Like it's like either too big or too small depending on how we like use the space. So they just play handball all the time, and I just sit there and hate it. I'll break them soon though. I mean, we've played a few times.
Have you gotten Cole to play it?
Dodgeball?
Yeah.
Yeah. He doesn't follow the rules though. He just does whatever he wants.
That sounds like Cole. Yeah. Not following rules.
In dodgeball, he doesn't really follow the rules. That's just because he doesn't know them.
Yeah, that's a great excuse. Yeah, I don't know the rules.
Baby steps. Yeah, hey, I didn't know. Can't blame me. But man, all right, Connor. Just the fact that you said Connor Krazik was the first name, I have some issues now.
Just because he just takes it so seriously.
He does. Hey, speaking of dodgeball, I think of Bo all the time whenever I think of dodgeball. Are you gonna fight anytime soon?
I saw within a year.
Yeah, I want to. I mean, I've been talking to just a couple of the guys on the team, and we all have kind of a similar idea. But, I mean, I would love to go in there and just have a
fight. Who's going to take an amateur fight against you?
I do have to figure
out. Nobody. Nobody.
Well, there's a lot of stupid people out in the world, though.
I think I can find something. They don't know if I could strike or not, so.
I mean, yeah, but you're a good wrestler, and like freaking look at you, your arms go down to your ankles. Like who's getting in the cage with you? I'm not. Like there's no way.
Your post said what? Like you want to fight within the next 365 days?
I mean that's the goal for sure.
Oh man. I'll have to find a sacrificial lamb somewhere. You'll have to just like
Gino Morelli found a sacrificial lamb.
Pat Downey, can't wait for that. Oh, is that a fight or like a grappling match?
No, a grappling. No G, I think.
Damn.
I know. They should really run it back. Do no G and do wrestling.
They should just do MMA.
I'm here for that too.
Gino's a special dude. He's a really, really good athlete. Tough guy.
We've been talking about some stuff. He's a super, super nice guy. He's smart.
No, he's very smart. I knew you were gonna say that. Yeah, Gino's a very smart guy. He was awesome to be around. What's up?
How big is he?
I'm guessing he's probably about 180 pounds right now, maybe maximum.
Yeah, so they're close.
He stays very lean. Well, I mean, Downey just missed weight for 79 kilos. So they're probably walking around the same thing. But
Gino is not just in good shape. He's shredded.
No, we used to call him G.I. Joe.
Yeah, like he's shredded.
He's slapped together. Like he was wrestling 165, then he went to 174, and then he just cut down for his first fight at 155. And he was just grossly shredded looking at 155.
That's crazy.
I'm pumped for that. Do you know when that is? The date for that?
I'll pull it up. I just tweeted it out or Instagrammed it out. Let's see.
You insta booked it.
October 23rd. CG8. Yeah. The underdogs. And it looks like there's a $10,000 prize. 16-man, 180-pound no-G tournament. The underdogs on Fight TV. We're bringing home the $10,000, he says. I'm rooting for him. I'm all in. I can't wait for that.
I'm rooting for Pat Downey.
Oh, man.
I actually don't have anything against Pat Downey. Like,
I do only because he asked me to come on this podcast and then he blocked me and I don't understand why. That would be my only beef with him.
Probably because you're a hater and you've been preying on his downfall.
What?
Well, yeah. I mean, you're either with them or against them.
I don't know if that's the case with this. I don't know if you can be with or against Pat or just be completely neutral against what he's doing.
No, nah, you're just a hater praying on his downfall.
Guys, I'm so excited Chenzo's back in the podcast.
but like I said, I have nothing against Pat Downey. Gino is just the freaking boy. Like, obviously, I'm going to be pulling for Gino. Like, that's my guy.
Yeah, I'm rooting for Gino. So, Greg, I'm curious your thoughts on NIL. I saw you got a shirt out. How's going for you?
Pump your merch, dude. Talk about
it. Yeah, first of all, is it available right now?
Yeah, it's available.
Where can people get it?
Constant pressure.
Right.
It's not the Instagram link. You got to go on the website.
Yeah, I have to go on the website. Yeah, it doesn't pop up on, like, on cell phones. It won't pop up. It's like MacBooks for me.
CP.clothing. That's the website. Go there, buy some shirts.
Greg, I'm sorry, I haven't ordered one yet. I'm going to order one as soon as we're done here because I kind of forgot.
I'm going to too, actually.
he goes, wow. I see how it is.
So how's the NIL going for you? What's your thoughts on it? You know, you obviously are one of these guys who has a great brand. You're going to be able to benefit from this the next 4 years. And for MMA, like, is that part of it? The fact that you can do things like that? I don't know if that's anything to do with it, but it sounds like it would be.
From what I'm understanding, it can be a part of it, I think.
Okay.
I can incorporate it into it. So,
yeah, because I would think that with NIL, like, or MMA, if you're going to do an MMA fight, you're going to get paid. And I don't know before NIL that was possible. Like, I never saw a Kyle Dressler fight before the NIL stuff went into place. So that'll be cool. What has it been like for you? You know, superstars like Vincenzo Joseph didn't have that in college. What has it been like for you having
superstar.
It?
You hear that?
I mean, I'm not a superstar by any means, but I mean, it's cool. It's something that's added on, which is nice, but it's not needed. Not like a necessity. The main focus is still winning an NCAA title, not getting a clothing line or making money. I still want to be a national champion 4-time.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, and like you just accomplish your goals and everything else will fall into place.
Exactly.
That's what, you know, that's kind of just what I've been, you know, preaching to my team so far. Just, you know, when people get caught up with that stuff, I'm like, accomplish your goals and then everything else will fall into place for you.
Exactly.
It's almost like you were coached by Kale Sanderson.
It sounds like that, right?
I was just going to ask you, Chenzo, how is it going for you, like, being in that coaching role and now you having athletes? And I know guys like Real Woods are, like, super savvy with his brand. Like, he's got a lot of ambition. He's got a lot of, like, he's got a lot of smarts when it comes to that, like, marketing himself. Have you been dealing with that all as a coach yet?
No, I just kind of let it, like, when it comes to the guys, I let them do their thing. You know, if my guys drop some merch or something like that, I'll buy it. But, you know, Real works his butt off. You know, he wants to be a national champ. He wants to, you know, do great things in the sport of wrestling. And, you know, he puts the work in and, you know, I do whatever I can to help him. And he knows that those things come second, right? And that I've told him already, I was like, yeah, you think you're making money now and you think, you know, your brand looks good now, go win a national title and see what happens. And he's like, yeah, he's like, it'll be... You know, he's not an idiot. He understands, you know, what will happen after that. So, and he already does well on that side of things. So if he just gets some more success, you know, gets on the podium, gets high up on there, then it'll be really easy for him.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys at Stanford that are exciting that I think are in that same boat. Like Shane's already won an NCAA championship and it'll be interesting to see what happens if he keeps going with his brand power he has now, wins another one. It is the best thing you can do. Like winning creates the ultimate relevance, especially in a sport like wrestling, where there's not much of a spotlight on the sport, let alone those who don't win. Like when there is such a small spotlight, winning is so important to be able to grow your brand and capture that relevance. Like it's cool. Like I think, Greg, you have the proper perspective of like, it's not needed, but it's nice. It is nice to capitalize. Like I think more and more, you go out and win 4 national championships, you'll have more and more abilities after each one. That's where I think it's beneficial. Like if you can make some extra money and if you can continue building your brand and engaging with your audience,
I think that's huge. So important not to get deterred by just that. Like, I see some people doing that, or that it's almost like they care more about how much can they squeeze and make money right now instead of winning a national championship. So that's good.
I think a lot of people kind of look at Roman and they're like, oh, wow, like this guy, you know, he does all this time with his media and all this stuff, and he's still super successful. Well, Roman, like, yeah, he was doing that stuff, but like behind the scenes, no one really sees the amount of work that dude puts in. Like, he loves to train. He lives to train. He just not, you know, he looks like he's this big whole flash, like outside looking in, but he's actually pretty quiet to himself and just puts his head down and works hard. And he has people around him that he's like, you know, kind of established, just really good connections and good people that he works with that pretty much help him out along the way and, you know, help him with his posts and everything. And that's kind of what helped that, you know, foundation for him to kind of just take off. But yeah, you gotta have that work ethic. That's really it.
Yeah, and he's a lot more like, he's somebody who, like, AJ Ferrari has no on-off switch. He's just him, and how much he shares is one thing. Like, Roman does have an on-off switch to a degree in regards to, like you said, he's super hardworking. He's more of a quiet guy. Like, he's a guy who, I think, Chenzo, we talked about it when he was on here with you, where it's like, he'll be on his phone and the girl will be like, are you Roman Bravo Young? he's just like... Like, that's him, but he does have that perspective of keeping his head down working. I mean, we built the website for him, and I've gotten even closer with him, and he truly puts hard work first, but he also just realizes what opportunities are out there for an NCAA champion, for having more time left. So I think he's doing the right things.
For sure. I want to circle back to AJ real quick. So Greg, that's your boy, huh?
Yeah, I'm cool with AJ. We're on a world team together.
Now, what would you have done if someone came at you with a 10-pound plate?
10-pound plate. Well,
did you see that video?
I did see he was in a boot, so I don't know how much you can do there. But if it was in my instance, I mean,
hands are still working.
You have to, like, throw punches.
You can't let someone charge you with a 10-pound plate. No, you can't.
I was kind of shocked to see that video, like, that he just was. I thought for sure he would have lost his mind. He didn't.
Why are people messing with that dude like that, though? What's the point of that?
I think because he's outspoken. If you're outspoken about anything in life right now, you guess what you get.
Oklahoma State people, let that man live. Let him do his thing. Yeah.
I think a lot of people just misunderstand him. I think he's a good guy.
Mm-hmm. Oklahoma State needs AJ Ferrari more than AJ Ferrari needs Oklahoma State. I believe that. I think AJ Ferrari, brings, I know for me, like, I give more attention to Oklahoma State because of AJ Ferrari. I'm not saying the school needs him in general. I'm just saying, like,
they need him for academics for sure.
I'm saying that, like,
all the studies and stuff he's doing there. Yeah.
I'm saying, like, from a wrestling standpoint, like, he's bringing such attention to the program that
that they haven't had in years. They haven't had that much attention in years.
I don't think they have.
No, they haven't.
No, and I think now you have, like, him and Dayton, and like, that's, you know, and Dayton's a quiet guy. So Dayton, even though Dayton's winning and, like, he just took home a silver at the World Championships, he's not going to be as outspoken. He's a guy who just wants to win and be kind of quiet behind the scenes, and that's it. AJ's the guy who's going to go out there, create content, flex with every person you see who wants a picture. Like, that's AJ. You need that. That does more for your – that does a lot for your program.
Need. I don't know if you need that.
I don't know if you need it.
Listen, Stanford, we don't have guys walking around in, like, underwear, like, flexing with people.
I use the term need very loosely. Very loosely. We don't need that. I want it. I use the term loosely. So, by the way, people listening, they're not going to, like, tweet me because Chenzo said it and you think he's right. I honestly don't think they need it.
Every team needs AJ Ferrari, quote by yours truly, Justin
Dash. I do think it's just good for the sport. The more
I'm tweeting it right now. Every team needs an AJ Ferrari.
Cool. Oh man, nothing like starting things up before the weekend.
I know, that's my favorite. I'm just down. Listen, I miss all my friends. I'm just out here trying to stir the pot.
Can you at least first tweet that we're doing an episode? Because nobody knows this yet. So that's going to excite people. Greg, while he's tweeting stirring the pot, what are you the most excited for this upcoming season?
Just getting back out on the mat with fans. That's always fun and exciting. I mean, you wrestle every day, but having those fans, that's a added pressure that maybe not a lot of people can take. And it's kind of fun to see those guys break under that pressure.
Yeah. Have you, like, last year was obviously so different of a year between having the staph infection, being out, no fans, all that. Have you, like, really gotten a good glimpse of what it's like at Penn State under the lights, rec hall, all that?
When I first transferred from Ohio State, I went to that duel.
Dude, I forgot you went there. Oh, wow.
All right,
Keep going.
I was at that duel. I kind of saw the BJC, how kind of crazy that could get. And that just got me even more fired up. So, I mean, I know like the potential that it could be, and I'm excited to experience that.
Yeah, I can't wait. I think it's going to be a blast to watch.
Yeah, you're going to have a lot of fun. Penn State wrestling matches are, they're for real. I mean, they're a great time, but like, you know, without, if there's no COVID restrictions or anything like that, you'll wrestle in a sold out crowd every single time you wrestle.
I'll take your word for that.
Yeah. And, you know, so we're trying, so we're trying to do here at Stanford, you know, surprisingly enough, people on the West Coast do not watch wrestling as much as people in the Midwest and East Coast do. Surprisingly, because
they can walk outside and sit under a palm tree and get sunshine,
because they can go surfing and stuff like that. Yeah, all right, that makes sense. But yeah, I mean, you know, I was taken aback by that. I mean, like, man, you know, you get, if I could be anywhere I want, I'd be at a wrestling match. Like,
gone surfing?
I've watched guys on the team surf.
But you have not participated yet?
No, because we've had like recruits. We've had like recruits and stuff like that every time. So I, you know, just driving in the cars, stuff like that. But yeah, no, I haven't. I actually haven't even gone in the ocean yet since I've been here. I've been in the
beach really
times, but I have not been in the ocean yet. No.
I'm a real quick, like, I think the last time I was in by an ocean was Miami when we were there for NCAAs. And we like went in quickly. Got the saltwater feel, felt nice. I got out. I'm not a big ocean beach guy.
Neither am I. I mean, I got to be in a special type of mood for that. And especially, you know, if I'm like laying out or if I'm just chilling and then I get wet and then the sand like sticks to me. And nah, like I'm okay on that. You know, unless like I'm making a day out of it, then no. Nah.
It's a commitment.
Yeah.
It's 100% a commitment.
Yeah. And every time I've gone to the beach, it has not been a full commitment.
Greg, are you a beach ocean guy?
I do enjoy the beach, but it sure does take a lot out of you.
So beach or mountains?
Mountains.
We have both. that's my usual answer to that. I'll ask beach or mountains. Good thing we have both. You can go from the beach to the mountains and vice versa.
How long of a commute from the beach to the mountains?
Like 10 minutes.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's dope.
Dang, I might have to get out there sooner than I thought. I know that wine country was pretty close to the beach.
I haven't hit that yet. I haven't done the wine stuff.
That's how I know you're busy.
Yeah.
The fact that you're living in California now and haven't hit wine country yet, that says it all.
People are like, oh, like, have you done this, and this? And I'm like, no, I'm not really off on the weekends either. So like I got shit to do. So
no, you have been working. Like every time we talk, you're like, you tell me 30 things you just did in the last like 24 hours.
Yeah.
It's
a little insane right now. I mean, I think just this year is going to be a kind of a grind. And then after, you know, we kind of have our foundation set and everything like that after this year, it'll be smooth sailing. But
how has the recruiting process been so far for you?
Oh, I think we're going to have one of the best classes in the country for next
year. Are you enjoying it, recruiting?
Yeah. Not as much as Rob enjoys it, for sure. because that's his that's his favorite thing in the entire world is to talk on the phone to people. But yeah, I mean, I like it. I think we do a pretty good job too. I think we have a pretty easygoing, related staff that, you know, it's pretty easy to attract people here. And like, it's Stanford, it sells itself.
Did I see you guys hired a director of operations too, like this week? Didn't you guys just hire someone?
Yeah, I mean, we're in the works for that right now. His name's Chris Caldwell. He works with the RTC. He's probably about 30 feet from me right now.
Okay.
Yeah, he's one of my roommates. But yeah, we're trying to put him on our Stanford staff. I'm not exactly sure how that's going to go, but it would just be nice to have an extra set of hands to, like, you know, just do some of the stuff to take off of my Enoch's plate, pretty much. Not Rob though. He can keep doing all of his work.
Yeah, so I thought I saw that. Like, it was official.
I don't think it's official yet, but we're getting there.
Okay. I thought I reshared it official, but maybe it's not.
Maybe,
like... not.
maybe I'm just out of the loop. I thought we were dotting the T's and crossing the I's, but maybe not.
Yeah, I don't know where I saw that. Maybe. Yeah, how's Grant Leith? I want to have him on the podcast. I like that dude. I started following because of you.
He's not allowed on. I've told him that. He wants to come on so bad. No, he's not allowed. He's a Leafs canon.
Oh man.
No, I freaking love Grant Leith.
You guys were on the news together like week one there.
Yeah, we were. We were on the news in San Jose Boardwalk, our first week here.
Yeah.
It was kind of, Mr. Pat Mineo found that one, obviously. But yeah, you know, Grant's the man. He's a very good technician. Very easy to work with. You know, he's the way Rob described it pretty much is like, we were having a meeting and, you know, we had like, you know, 12 items to take care of, and Grant volunteers for 8 of them and knows how to do 2 of them. So like, that's the type of guy you got with him. He's going to figure it out. And he does. He does a really good job.
That's a guy you need on the team. I think that's what he had in Mike Gray that he really loved, is someone who just always wanted to get it done, someone to go after it. You know, that's Rob is very good at finding those people.
Yeah, he really is.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited for both of your guys' seasons as an athlete, as a coach. I'm obviously splitting my loyalty this year between Stanford and Penn State.
And
that's
okay. You can wear half blue, half cardinal. And I'm okay with that. So here's an idea. I say we do some rapid fire.
I'm down.
All right. So
Greg, you want to go first?
I don't have any. I haven't thought of anything yet.
But, all right, Greg, do you?
Explain the very simple game to him.
Sure. So we come up with a couple words. Yeah. So we come up with a couple words. And it's called rapid fire. And we just word association. We throw a couple words at you and you just say the first thing that comes to your mind. It doesn't have to be a name. It doesn't have to be a city. A lot of people say something and it's instantly a name. So we can just say a word and you say literally the first thing that comes to your mind.
You got it.
So like, if I say Aaron, you don't have to say Brooks.
Yeah, you like, please don't say Brooks if he says Aaron. That would just be not fun. But if he says Aaron Brooks, you could say something about Aaron Brooks that is hilarious.
Got it.
Correct. Yeah. All right. You want to go first? You want me to?
I'll go.
All right.
My first one is Pittsburgh.
Steelers.
That was the same one I had.
What's their record right now?
They beat the Bills.
And I was about to say they're 1-3. And who's that one win against?
Yeah, listen, you can have that one win. I'd rather be 3-1 right now.
I'd rather be 1-3 with the win over the Bills.
I mean, Bills Chiefs this week is a monster game. Monster game Sunday, 8 o'clock.
Chiefs are gonna tear them up.
No. Oh, Chenzo, no.
She's terrible. Do they play Monday?
Sunday night. It's a Sunday night primetime game.
I miss Monday night games because we're in practice.
Maybe Sunday night. Maybe we'll go like Instagram Live or something for like a little bit.
I'm down.
If you're around, I don't know what your, I don't know what your California Sundays look like. But,
last Sunday, I was at the beach.
All right, shocker. So,
yeah,
my next word, canoe.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh. small, very small boat.
I just remember your post a while ago about it. I think you posted a picture in one, a rowboat, canoe, something. Yeah. I thought there'd be maybe something more than just boat, but okay.
I think I've only ever tipped it over. I actually did tip it over, like in the middle of the water. Thank God I had a life jacket on because I could not flip it back over.
Safety first, kids.
Safety first.
Chenzo, your next word.
I'm thinking. All right. My next word is spike ball.
David Tanner, I don't know why that came to my head. I just remember him playing.
David Taylor.
Yeah. I don't know why that was the first thing that came to my head.
Wow. That's all right. That's what this game is about.
I think he posted a video of it on Instagram.
There's no way David's good at spike ball.
I don't.
There's absolutely no way.
I don't think so.
He doesn't have the fast twitch for that.
I'm pretty good, I'd say.
You either hit dingers or you're a home run hitter.
That's hit it. Or miss.
Yeah. Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. Greg's Dinger City.
All right, my next word. I'm going to give you a full name so you can't just say the last name. Casey Cunningham.
Leg riding.
Yeah. Best in the business, man.
Yeah.
Best in the business.
By the way, somebody just responded to your tweet with every team, regardless of sport.
Every team, regardless of sport. Yeah.
Thank you, BioPharma Meat.
I try to teach his like leg slips to our guys. And then they, you know, they drill it all and stuff like that. And then we wrestle live. And then they just try to grab my legs and pull them like up to their face. And then I just power half them.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's crazy. I didn't know that we worked on that today. but yeah, no, Casey Cunningham, when it comes to legs, he's the guru. He knows all.
He's one of the greatest coaches in the world.
Yeah, right behind me.
One Chenzo, two Casey.
Oh, man. All right. I need one more. Let me think here. I don't know. I mean, all right. I got one. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Joey Bloomer. Oh, he's thinking.
It's the first word. A word has to be in your mind right now.
I know, but I just feel like I need a different word.
This is rapid fire, not what's Chenzo, what's the coffee that drips slowly?
Oh, they say, hey, this is rapid fire. They say a pour over. It's rapid fire.
Oh man.
Dirty,
messy.
Oh yeah, those.
Nah, you gotta come up with your own.
I have to come up with my own. Now I'm back thinking again.
All right, I'll switch it. Robert Howard.
Small. Aggressive.
small and aggressive.
Sometimes very angry.
I hope Robbie listens to this and tweets this with quote small and aggressive.
That's how he needs to be on the wrestling mat, dude.
Yeah.
Small and aggressive.
He is a little scrappy.
He's awesome, dude.
Yeah, he's great.
He's a little
bald. I watched the GIF. I watched the GIF that I made of him getting kicked in the head NCAAs 50 times.
Yeah.
That looked painful, but it was such a bobblehead effect. Like just all right, my last word, MMA.
Champions, UFC.
Champions, UFC.
Yeah.
Champion. I like that. That says a lot.
Yeah. I like that one. I really want to know what you had to say about Joey. I'm sure it was terrible.
I don't know. I'll text it to you after.
All right. Yeah, we can we can talk after this conversation.
Right. Yeah, and there is word association that's not permissible on right. live recordings, so we get right. that.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I can't say that I've done this before and haven't thought of something and went to my second option because, you know.
Yeah, it does kind of need to be like rapid fire allowed on camera will be repeated 1,000 times.
Rapid fire, kind of rapid fire, because we'll talk about it for 5 minutes afterwards. And then, yeah.
All right, Chenzo, what's your last word?
My last word is every team needs an AJ Ferrari. Every team needs an AJ Ferrari. That's how I'm going to sign off today.
Carter Straki. He is just like, he's on go 24/7. And he is just like, it does not matter. Like,
wait, were you asking for another rapid fire word for me?
I thought that's what he asked.
I already gave my, didn't I not do three?
No, what was your third one?
Or did we only do two? I'm out of it, man.
You did two. My third one was MMA, and I don't think you gave another one.
Oh, okay.
So you did phrase, and he said Carter Straki.
Carter is all-time energy. Now I just need to think of something to stump you again. All right, Joey Bloomer. no, but for real. See, like, sometimes thinking of the words rapid-firely is even more difficult. It's even more difficult than the answer. All right. I'm going to go with Titanium White.
Great guy.
Bob Ross's first color, man. Every time. Yeah. Titanium White. Yeah. He knows how to get it done.
What a session of rapid fire.
Titanium White. Great guy.
Great guy.
Yeah. Great guy.
That might be the episode of today's title. Titanium White Coffee Talk.
Titanium White. I mean, I don't hate it. You ever watch Bob Ross paint?
Yes.
I'm asking Justin.
I have never seen him paint. No.
You need to.
I've never seen him paint. I've seen like Instagram clips and I've seen things, but I've never seen him actually paint.
They're like 20-minute videos and he just creates a masterpiece in like 20 minutes. You got to watch one.
All right. I'll give it a shot.
Just pull it up on the tube, man.
It's only a Friday night. What else is there to do tonight? Sounds like a good night for some Bob Ross painting for the first time.
Couple glasses of wine, some Bob Ross painting.
Yeah, 100%.
Can't go wrong.
That's all a done deal. All right, guys. Chendo's got to run. Go, you, Greg.
Practice time, baby.
I think your promo code is promo code Greg at Constant Pressure, right?
I believe so. Actually.
Guys, go use. I think it's Greg. I think I remember seeing that. Go use his promo code Greg at Constant Pressure. Buy some shirts. He's going to point to you at NCAAs if he sees you wearing his shirt.
100%. Yeah.
So you don't want to miss that. So go buy a shirt, wear it to Rec Hall, wear it to Big Tens, wear it to NCAAs, get some Stanford gear. I don't think it's available for purchase yet.
Mm-mm, we're working on it.
But just be on the lookout. November 14th, Oklahoma State, 13th. Stanford. 13th.
13th.
November 13th, Oklahoma State. Stanford.
Come on out. It's a great time.
You'll see an AJ Ferrari and who's Stanford's AJ Ferrari.
You will see AJ Ferrari in Palo Alto. I don't know what else you could possibly ask for.
No, nothing. That's a done deal. That's episode 138. Thank you, guys.
And the beat goes on.